Welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I am one of your hosts, Allison with an I, joined as always with Allison with a Y.
Hello.
And Patrick.
Hello.
This week we're bringing you Horror Catch-Up, where we catch up on all things horror that are not Netflix affiliated, things we've been watching outside of Netflix or on Netflix. Reading, listening to podcasts, ghost stories, real life horrors, and things of that nature. No shortage of real life horrors.
Yeah, we should probably just stop saying that on these episodes, because that's a whole separate podcast.
Yeah. I guess we're kicking it off with a kind of a new release that Patrick just watched.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Went to see Good Boy. Do y'all know anything about Good Boy?
No, never heard of it.
I think I maybe have seen one trailer, but it didn't like register for me.
It's a horror movie starring a damn dog.
A damn dog, you say?
A damn dog, I say.
Is it Cujo-esque?
No, the dog is the protagonist. He's the star of the show. It's all about him and his owner, who has a kind of debilitating medical condition. His owner relocates to the old family home, which is haunted as fuck. And I mean, this is truly all from the perspective of the dog. Like, there's some dialogue in the movie, but you hear basically about as much as a dog would, because then he gets distracted by other noises and goes elsewhere in the house. So it's very cleverly conceived.
Is it like Presence, but with a dog?
Sure. I mean, in the sense that a movie has a protagonist and he is the protagonist. The dog is the protagonist.
Wait, is it from like, but it's from like the POV of the dog, correct?
Yes. Well, not in the sense that like you're looking through the dog's eyes.
Oh, okay.
But you do see the dog, but it basically everything is presented the way the dog would perceive it. Like, you're focusing on the same things the dog is focusing
on. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Assuming no dogs get hurt in the movie, because I couldn't handle that.
I can't quite promise you that, but I can promise you that our protagonist dog does not die. That said, the ending is still incredibly bleak and depressing.
No.
The dog's fine. The dog is fine.
That's good.
Other events are very bleak. But incredible movie, kind of a concept that almost shouldn't work, but it does. It's from a director named Ben Leonberg. It's his first feature film, and it's his dog.
Oh.
Whoa.
And
what kind of dog is it?
It's a really like obscure breed that I'd never heard of before. It's a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever. It's a beautiful dog. It has a little like white blaze down its nose. But there was a little sort of behind-the-scenes featurette that played after the movie with this guy kind of explaining some of the background. And, I mean, it's, you know, a short movie. It's a simple one. It's like an hour and 15 minutes. But it took him, I think he said, 400 days to shoot. And it was just him and his wife basically sitting around the house trying to get their dog to do what it needed to do and get the reactions. And, you know, they showed an example of just one take that lasted, you know, 10 seconds. And he said, it took us a day to get this shot, to get the dog to do what it was supposed to do. So kind of insane that they pulled this off at all, let alone that it works as well as it does. Oh, this dog, so sweet.
That's a beautiful dog breed.
He is so cute.
I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at him, too.
Indy, the best actor of the year in my book.
Indy.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved Good Boy.
What an interesting concept.
Would recommend to either of you. I think you'd both enjoy it. And to the viewing or listening audience as well. But I know you both have been kind of taking in the same story from different views, different media, and different eras recently. Allison with a Y has been reading The Haunting of Hill House, and Allison with an I is rewatching the Mike Flanagan Netflix series, The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, I was in the Reddit horror subreddit, and people were like, what are we watching for spooky season? And somebody was like, oh, it's my annual rewatch of Haunting of Hill House. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I have never done that. I've seen it once all the way through. Masterpiece. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it again. My God, what a show. Mm-hmm. Just, I can't say anything that hasn't already been said about this show ad nauseum. Mike Flanagan is a brilliant genius, as is his wife, who plays Theo, who's one of my favorite characters in the show. There are so many Easter eggs of just, like, ghosts in the background. And, like, if you count how many ghosts they end up, like, putting in the scenes that seemingly are, you know, just for no reason. you're like, it's just so beautiful and scary. And I forgot even just the first episode how much of a punch it packs. And how much storytelling is done in just that first episode. So I'm not even halfway through it again, and I'm just, like, kicking my feet in bed. Like, I'm so glad that they made this show, and I'm so glad I get to watch it again, and I'm so glad I don't remember every detail of it. But why? You're reading Hill House for the first time?
Yeah, first time. Yeah, I finished it. First time I ever read The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
What did you think about it?
You know, I'm glad that I read it, but it's kind of boring.
It's so boring. I'm so glad you said that.
Mostly,
I read it,
just,
I think,
like,
2 or 3 years ago and was like,
talking.
It is boring, and it's nothing like the show.
No. Well, and it's like, I think I've seen 3 different, basically, interpretations of The Haunting of Hill House. Patrick and I, we watched the Vincent Price movie.
Oh, right.
A few years ago, 2 or 3 years
Holy
ago.
Holy shit, yeah.
And then the...
Which is kind of dope, actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, actually. And then, like, you know, I saw The Haunting of Hill House, the one from, like, the 90s or early 2000s, whenever that one was with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And
I forgot about that.
Which is just called The Haunting, I think, right? That's the Liam Neeson
one? No, I don't know. There was a bunch of movies that came out around that time with similar names. But that's, you know, based on, it's got, like, the same characters. And then, of course, I've seen the Mike Flanagan, and each one of them are like, pretty different from each other.
Mm.
And that's really interesting. I think, like, the most accurate to the book was probably the Vincent Price version. But even then, I thought that one was, like, a little bit better than the book, because the book was just kind of a snoozer.
Yeah, The Haunting does star Liam Neeson, and it is based on Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Is that the one with Catherine? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
I know it was based on Hill House because she plays Theo, and what's her face? Oh, what is that actor's name?
Lily Taylor?
Lily Taylor. She plays Nellie. And then Owen Wilson plays Luke. Anyways. So, yeah, it's like these characters from it, of course, but, like, the book is nothing like the show at all. I mean, kudos to Mike Flanagan for taking this mere concept and this idea of this house and the names of these characters, but creating such a richer experience.
100%.
Where it's like some of the characters, they do mimic qualities of the book characters, and in some ways, like, mimic some fates. So there's definitely, like, nods to stuff that happens in the book within the show. But yeah, the show, vast improvement.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, that's Flanagan's thing to a degree, though. Like, I mean, he did the same thing with Poe, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy these kind of, like, remix adaptations he does. Because if I remember correctly, the Hill House show also includes some references to other Shirley Jackson works, too.
I think so, because that's also what they did with Bly, too.
Oh, I thought that was an original story. Oh, no, that's right. It's Turn of the Screw.
Turn of the Screw.
That's right.
Yeah, which had also talked about in a horror catch-up a while ago.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that just seems to be his thing with these Netflix series. And it's cool. I love it with all 3 of those.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say for both Turn of the Screw and Hill House, which I liked Turn of the Screw more than I liked Haunting of Hill House. I really thought I would like the book more.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. It was really boring. It felt like classic literature that you're like, I guess I feel smart for reading this, but I'm not entertained.
Yeah, no, not at all entertained.
I
was also glad I read it.
Yeah.
I've read it, but I don't remember too much about it at this point. I feel like I recall enjoying it, but I don't have too much else to throw in on it. I do feel very inspired to rewatch the series, though, because that's been on my mind. Actually, rewatching all those series has been on my mind for a while, so maybe I'll knock out at least one of those this Halloween.
I rewatched Hill House and Bly, I think, 2 years ago, and oh, God, they're so good.
And I still haven't seen Bly, so... Oh, I know. I forgot.
I really want to rewatch Usher. That was a hell of a good time. And it's completely unlike anything else he's done. And I love it.
Yeah. Good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, you've got some update on your Aliens watch.
Yeah. So Alien Earth has wrapped up. You know, I watched the last couple episodes. Loved them, have loved the entire run of the show so far. the one thing I can say against it is you can make a case for it not needing to be an alien show. The Xenomorph is in it, but it's not necessarily central. But regardless, it's a great addition to this universe that I do love and care about quite a lot, and it introduces a lot of really interesting new ideas. The season finale left things in a really interesting place as far as where all this goes next. And I'm super excited for season two. So it's nice to see some, like, in my opinion, like, truly great alien media coming back into the franchise again, because it's been a rough patch, even though I love, like, Alien Covenant. I love the David shit. I'll acknowledge that shit is messy. And then I just didn't like Alien Romulus. So it's exciting to have something that feels more or less like, you know, just an absolute creative win coming back into the franchise. So that was a delight. Can't wait for what's next. I do also want to throw in a couple of shout outs for two other alien related things. I've been listening to the podcast Crew Expendable, which is hosted by a member of our Discord community, actually, and another co-host. And the podcast is all about alien media, and specifically like alien, like Ridley Scott, Xenomorph. I don't mean like generically like things about aliens, but like that franchise. And they have so many episodes. They are so knowledgeable, so nerdy in the best way. I love learning about this franchise that I, compared to them, have a passing knowledge of. And I've seen all the movies, but there's so much beyond that. Comic books and all this other stuff. So it's very fun to hear about it through their eyes. Mm-hmm. They're very knowledgeable, very fun. So if you're into Alien, definitely check out the podcast Crew Expendable. And then the last alien thing that I'll throw out there is that podcast actually inspired me to reread a comic miniseries that I enjoyed recently called Aliens vs. Avengers. Disney, Marvel, whatever, bought Alien, of course, a couple years ago, along with all the other 20th Century Fox stuff. So they can make an Avengers crossover comic with Alien. And usually these things, when they happen, are hot garbage. It's just a cash-in. But this is incredibly creatively written. It pulls on deep stuff from both worlds, both Marvel characters and the Alien universe. I honestly wouldn't quite recommend it unless you are pretty well versed in both Marvel and Alien. But if you are, it's a hell of a ride. It's so fun, so creative, a little silly, definitely horrifying on a regular basis. Takes place in kind of a distant future where the Avengers are all old and the aliens have like overrun the planet, and the Avengers are basically making their last stand for humanity. It's a great concept, and I had a wonderful time rereading it. So that's my Alien Rex for this month. And Allison, with a while, I'll kick it back to you, because I know you have another haunting book to tell us about.
Yeah, so I, in my, you know, desire to read more horror fiction, I listened to this book called The Haunting of Velkwood by Gwendolyn Keist. And I actually, it was a really unique story. And I really liked it for the most part. Some of the writing was a little clunky, but it was a really compelling story. So it's basically about this woman, Talitha, who, when she was a teenager, basically almost everybody except her and two of her friends in her neighborhood just turned into ghosts one night. And this place called the Velkwood vicinity, that's her old neighborhood, has become, you know, notorious for documentaries about it and parapsychologists like coming to study it, ghost hunters trying to study it. But it's like this veil that nobody can get through except the three girls, who are now all adults, like almost 40 years old, who go back to visit it because there's basically problems that follow them. I mean, obviously they went through something super traumatic when they were young. None of their all of their families turned into ghosts, and they go back to try to get some answers. And it's a really unique story, especially a unique take on a ghost story. And it's got a lot of heart at the center of it. There's really compelling relationships that, you know, are basically the heart of what bring them back. Like, and she talks about it pretty early on, but the protagonist, her sister, who was 8 years old at the time this all happened, is still there, you know, and she wants to see if there's basically a way she can save her little sister.
Oh, like bring her back to the flesh realm, the realm of the flesh. Basically. That was a weird way to say it. But.
Yeah.
Bring her back realm. To the flesh realm.
And there's also queer themes to it as well. It's just a really, I think, rich story with a lot going on in a good way. There's a lot of depth to it, a lot of heart to it. Like I said, I think some of the writing's a little clunky, but it's a unique story, and I would recommend it if you're looking for something to read or listen to during spooky season.
Sweet.
Sounds super interesting.
Yeah.
It does. Sounds really kind of right up your alley.
Yeah. Yeah. I read the description. I was like, this sounds like a really unique take on a ghost story. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of ghost stories, Patrick, you watched a very classic ghost story film.
Yeah, and in fact, inspired by our discussion last episode during the White Noise episode, we were talking about this like kind of like late 90s into early aughts genre of like kind of cozy, chilly horror, where it's like a little lower key, it's kind of more human drama focused, and just has that very atmospheric kind of vibe to it before, you know, Saw and Hostel ruined everything. and, you know, we referenced several movies in that discussion, but one of the ones that popped into my mind immediately was The Sixth Sense, which, you know, I've seen a few times, but it had been a while, and it's on Disney, I think, right now. And I was like, okay, I could go for a rewatch of that. And man, it still works like gangbusters, as I seem to say every fucking episode.
You haven't said that in a couple episodes, so you're good.
Oh, okay, good. I get a gangbuster pass. Yeah. But man, it still works so fucking well. It's one of the best screenplays ever written. It's one of the best twists ever written. No matter how much absolute dreck Shyamalan has put out since then, it is still a fucking masterpiece. You know, they show you the twist in the first 10 minutes, and you don't see it unless you know it. And it's brilliant. You know, Haley Joel Osment, still his performance is still so incredible. And I mean, as good as the script is, that movie doesn't work without a really, really talented child actor at the middle of it. Like, I don't think people would have caught on to that, I don't think it would be remembered the way it is if not for how incredible he is in that movie.
Yeah.
Just loved it. Also forgot what an emotional, like, talk about Mike Flanagan. The ending of that movie is a Flanagan ending for sure. It's so, like, beautiful and heart-wrenching, and I had forgotten that, because as scary, as spooky as it is on a regular basis, there is such a solid emotional core to it as well. It's so good. It's so good. I really love that White Noise prompted me to revisit that.
Yeah.
I have this really, really visceral memory of being a young teenager whenever Sixth Sense came out. And I was spending the night at my uncle's house, which I think I never really did. So it was one of those, like, I was hanging out with my favorite uncle, my dad's youngest brother, and it got late. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to spend the night and sleep on your couch or whatever. And I watched The Sixth Sense for, I think, the first time ever by myself in the dark at like midnight. And I did not sleep a minute that night. I was fucking terrified. And that movie is still scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember as like a kid, because I've been fascinated with the paranormal for literally as long as I can remember. I really had a desire. Like, I wanted to be able to see ghosts. And then I saw that movie and I was like, no, I'm so glad I can't.
I'm good.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, it really scared me. I think I saw it probably a couple years after it came out, but I was, you know, I was younger. I think it came out like late elementary, early middle school for me or something like that. And
yeah.
99, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, late elementary school. And it was, so I was still, you know, I wasn't even a teenager yet when I saw it for the first time. And I'm like, I'm good. I don't.
Well, right. Because when you're a kid wishing to be able to see ghosts, you think the like Victorian translucent version where they're all in white nightgowns. Not right, you see them how they died.
Yeah. You think like you're going to make friends with like a little ghost child. And then you're kind of lonely as a kid because you're weird and you like ghosts. And you think you're going to make a little ghost friend. No.
I don't want to see a guy with his head blown off.
No.
Yeah. No, thank
like
you.
Like a girl, like, vomiting, you know, like.
Ugh. From being poisoned by your parents.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie is just a banger and a half.
So good. My favorite thing that I, like, I don't know if I necessarily noticed it this time or had just forgotten, but that his costume, he only wears things that he wore in the first scene, like the last night of his life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like,
yes.
Like pieces of that outfit.
Yeah. And yeah. So basically he's just wearing the same outfit pretty much the whole movie, or like different layers of it, like the same suit, tie, and overcoat. And occasionally he'll have on the sweater that he puts on in the first scene. But it's such, there's so, I don't know. I'm it's another thing where I'm like just getting chills thinking about it. It's so good because there's so many fucking clues, honestly.
I know.
But, you know, the first time you see it, you just, it just flies right over your head. And then it finally gets revealed and it's like, how the fuck did I not?
I know.
Yes.
Know this was coming.
Yeah. You know? I remember thinking that the second time I ever watched it. Like already knowing, I'm like, how did people not pick up on this?
Mm-hmm. It was crafted
so well done. And Shyamalan, I mean, he got a lot of mileage off of that film.
Oh yeah,
got away with a lot of crap because that was so good.
Yeah. And Toni Collette, like, come on, she's one of my favorite actors of all time. Same. And that might have been the first. That was the first role I ever saw her in. It was like, who is this mother that I love?
She's wonderful. She's perfect in it.
She plays a great, maybe not entirely well, mother role.
Yeah.
That's like one of her types that she is phenomenal.
Yes.
At.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
And so even more sad now knowing that Bruce Willis is suffering and you know, sick the way he is, because it was just perfectly played. What a talent. That movie was perfect in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, perfect spooky season watch. Even though I wasn't super hot on White Noise, I'll give White Noise a shout out for causing me to revisit The Sixth Sense.
At least something good came out of it.
Exactly.
I think that covers it for our catch-up episode this week. Patrick's got the pick next week. What are we watching, Patrick?
Well, it's spooky season, and, you know, I often like to watch the more obscure, weird shit on Netflix for the show, but because it's spooky season, I'm going to go with a classic that has been on and off Netflix, and I've thought about picking it for the show for years, but Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes! Yes!
And
we are happy with that pick.
Yeah. You know, I often try and kind of play my cards close to the vest on this show with, you know, not trying to tip my hand, but I'll just say this is like one of my favorite horror movies. It's one of my favorite movies. It's an incredible adaptation. Francis Ford Coppola going absolutely fucking nuts. Gary Oldman going absolutely fucking nuts. And I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm excited to be reminded of things I've forgotten in this. And it sounds like neither of you played your cards particularly close to the vest either. So I feel like I can already see the reviews coming next episode.
You know, I already love Dracula.
Yes.
I love Dracula and I love Gary Oldman and it's just...
I haven't seen this movie in 20 years. I am so excited.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Good pick, Patrick. Yes.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about our social media, shall we? Allison with a Y?
Yeah. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at AmonCast, E-H-M-O-N-Cast, and TikTok at Amon Podcast. Also, you can find the link to our Discord server in our show notes where you can join us to discuss all of the things that you've also been watching and listening to and reading. Please share with us the horror that you've been taking in. We love recommendations.
Also, visit our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. You can find all 200 and some episodes of the show out there, and also a link to our merch store where you can get swag with Every Horror Movie on Netflix art that I designed on it.
And leave us a review anywhere you listen to your podcast. We super appreciate it. And I will say, I just rejoined our Discord server after regrettably many months away, and it's so fun. It's so fun there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're back, and I know the listeners will be glad to have you out there too.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, I think that does it for this week of Every Horror Movie on Netflix. As always, I am one of your hosts, Allison with a Y.
Nope, you're Allison with an I.
No, I'm not. Do I have to say the whole thing again?
Nope. In that case, I'm Allison with an I.
And I'm Patrick with a Y.
Patrick. We're going to leave that in.
See you next time with a Y.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye with a Y.